Young athletes need the tools for success on the field and on the court. And now more than ever, in the arena of business. In the new era of name, image, and likeness, Athletic Architects is here for young athletes and parents to help prepare for your financial futures. Let Athletic Architects start helping you build your house. Visit buildthehouse.com and let's build together.
You're listening to the Auburn Express, powered by
the War Report.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups, doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
What's up, War Report family? We are back with another great edition of the Auburn Express, powered by the War Report. Joining me as always, it's Thursday. I got my guy, Auburn Memes, my girl, Busy Brandy Mack, and a special treat for you guys. Chris Marler from the College Football Uncensored podcast is here to share all his opinions on why Auburn will fail at everything for the next 30 years. Guys, how are we doing? It's Thursday. There's no football, but we got basketball going on, and we're going to talk some basketball today. You guys doing all right?
You said we have basketball?
Yeah, like we have basketball. Mm. We as a people.
I feel like I have basketball. I'm not sure if you guys have basketball.
We haven't even started, and he's already into it. February 11th can't get here fast enough. Today we're talking about whether there's a changing of the guard at the top of the traditional power rankings in the SEC. Alabama has emerged as a powerhouse in college basketball this year. Nate Oates has put together a squad probably worthy of the number one ranking. I say that with much pain, but it's true. And some are not as good as we expected. The Elite 18 from last year is probably one of the biggest disappointments in the SEC so far. Guys, let's jump right into this. You know, who, if we had to name a top four in the SEC right now. Okay, well, you know what? Let's back up for a second. Who do we think the traditional top four in the SEC has been over the last 20 years? You know, I'm going to start with you, Chris, as a guest. Tell us, man, who's the top four in the SEC over the last 20 years? If you had to say, we expect these guys to finish top four and make the tournament.
I would say, obviously, Kentucky. I would say Florida. I wouldn't have Auburn in there strictly because they've owned the last like 5 years, right?
That's fair.
4 or 5 years. But as far as dating back that far, I think LSU would probably be in there. And it's hard for me not to say Arkansas. I tell you what, another one is too, is Vandy. Vandy is a team that's been to the same, I think this is going into 2020. Vanderbilt had the same amount of Sweet 16 appearances as Michigan did after the year 2000.
Is that a real stat?
I'll double check it because I haven't looked it up in a while, but I remember doing this strictly to piss off a Michigan fan on Instagram. So, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's very accurate.
Now, I do know that Vandy has been sneaky good at basketball over the years, you know, where they have put together a solid squad. The rest of the SEC, I think, has, you know, caught up, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, certainly, right. but that's actually a pretty good trivia question.
Not a good stat. No, it's only twice after 2000. I'm an idiot. It's,
still, but even if, man, they put together some solid squads over the years, right? So
they've been to the tournament. I'm looking at it right now. They've been to the tournament 8 times since 2004. And you look at some of the guys they put out to in the league. Even
that's like, more than Auburn.
Was that?
I think it's more than Auburn.
Well, I mean, they've had like more like I feel like guys that have been like shooting stars like on their team. Maybe the team wasn't as great, but they've had guys that have been like, you know, led the SEC in scoring or like were like conference player of the year and all that kind of stuff as well. I mean, like if you gave me Arkansas over them or LSU over them, I wouldn't really argue it. I think it's just like we just forget about Vandy all the time because it's Vandy.
Right. Okay. So, Brandy, Chris has Kentucky, Florida, LSU, and Vandy. What do you think about Chris's list? And give us your top four.
I'm going in this order, starting with number one, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Florida. Those would be kind of my top four, like in the history of SEC basketball, kind of who's been at the top. Arkansas has had a lot of really great postseason experience and success. So has Tennessee to an extent. They've had a lot of regular season success more than anything else, though. And then Kentucky, you know, even though this year may be a down year for them, usually and historically, they are the powerhouse of SEC basketball. And then Florida has had some really great tournament success, too. So those would be the four that I'm going with.
Oh, Florida's got back-to-back championships.
Yeah, they used to be elite back in the day.
Right, yeah. I think it was 06-07 was their run at basketball, right? At one point, they were college football national champions and they were college basketball national champions in the same year. I believe it was 06. Memes. So you heard Brandy's list. Give us your top four. What do you think of the other two? Are they crazy?
No, I don't think they're crazy at all. I'm not gonna go that far. But I will say, I mean, if we're talking 20 years, I think with basketball, I think the relevancy, it's a little bit better to zoom in because, you know, football, you look at the history and the all times and this and that. And I think really basketball can change a lot quicker than football can. You have a lot more competition in basketball. You have a lot more schools that are relevant in basketball than football. So just kind of shifting the conversation because a lot of people, even now with that, especially saw a lot last season, they kind of got the football goggles on a little too thick comparatively to the basketball goggles. But if we're looking at the championships, it's ironic if you keep it at just in the last 20 years. It's funny because technically Florida has had more like postseason success than Kentucky has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you can maybe say Kentucky's been, I guess, what, one more Final Four than Florida has? So if we take all that to be considered, we'll give it Kentucky just because of the history there and more of their dominance spread, the consistent dominance, just what they do in the regular season and so right. on.
They get the benefit of the doubt every year. You know, no matter what their squad looks like.
It's finally starting to, I mean, I think it's finally starting to kind of come down to earth a little bit. And I don't know how much that has to do with just Kentucky and maybe Cal being a little bit of an overrated coach or the fact that the SEC as a whole is like starting to get more balanced out and better from the bottom. Because, I mean, really, it was like you'd have one good or one or two good teams in the East. I mean, let's be honest, like no one in the West was really doing anything
right.
basketball. So you got to look there. Kentucky and Florida, I mean, we're going to say really neck and neck. You know, I'm going to jump out on a limb. And, you know, we've said what Arkansas has done. And, I mean, they definitely have done a very, very consistent product in recent years, but another one to not forget too has been just from straight consistency has been Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
I agree with that four, and especially Tennessee because I mean they had the Bruce Pearl years where he got them, you know, into the tournament. You know, during his years, pretty consistently, he built that program up, and then they followed it up with some coaches who were able to build on that success and keep that going. So I think Tennessee is a good pick to maybe throw in here if we're talking. Overall, you know, you expect them to be something every year. This is about expectations, guys, right?
Yeah,
when the season starts, what do you expect?
Because, I mean, I'm looking a lot more at postseason, what they've done in the SEC success. I mean, SEC success, you definitely have Tennessee in there because I'm kind of looking at LSU. I mean, Tennessee and, on you know, Bruce Pearl's a lot to think of this. But they had since the year 2000. I'm going back 2000, so we'll say 23 years technically. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You had 6 Sweet 16 appearances. You had 1 Elite Eight.
13 total appearances, by the way.
And then you've had 1 Elite Eight from LSU. Now, LSU did make it to a Final Four run in 2006. I think Tennessee has had some years where they really could have made a pretty solid Final Four run, and they would always seem to kind of choke right when it all counted. But that would be my four for that time period.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'm not much change from you guys. Obviously, Kentucky is at the top of the list just based on expectations, right? I like Florida. It's hard to ignore back-to-back championships, and they're usually a tough out.
Yeah.
you know, usually a tough out for, you know, somebody. You know, I'm going with Chris and putting LSU in there. The program that produced Shaquille O'Neal finds a way to field a serviceable team most years over the last two decades. And in the fourth team, we can debate the hell.
Yeah.
Right. Like, as Chris mentioned, Vanderbilt, you could maybe put Arkansas in that spot. And, you know, there are probably two or three other teams that you can say, hey, you know, maybe these guys have had enough success to put in that fourth spot in what has widely been considered over, you know, the last few decades, not to be a basketball conference. Right. So I think that what's happened, and we're going to jump into it, with the SEC has been interesting because there is an overwhelming feeling that the conference has caught up a little to some of the traditional powerhouse conferences when it comes to basketball. Now, that's about teams that have been kind of middling to not good, suddenly becoming good. So, in today, it is 2023, guys. Year of our Lord, 2023, right? And we need a new list. Who's at the top of the list today? History be damned, right? If you had to pick a top four in the SEC right now to say, here's who is trending the right direction. This is not about instant success, guys, right? This is about which teams now, if you had to pick a top four, are, you know, let's say last 5 years, are doing the best. What does that four look like? I'm going right back to memes. Spotlight's on you, buddy. Who's your right now last 5 years top four?
Yeah, there's a lot of irony there because there's so many different ways that you can judge that question.
I mean,
you can
just judge, answer the damn question.
I'm going to answer the question, but I think there's some interesting insight on this. I mean, if you're looking at pure wins,
okay,
you got to look at Auburn. I mean, because that is something that they lead in. If you look at postseason success, you definitely got to put Arkansas up there because of what they have done, and if you are factoring in, I guess you could say, just balance and where they've consistently been in the SEC, just as far as just like record, maybe not a whole lot to show for it aggregately, you got to put Tennessee up there. And then honestly, well, you know, it was before pre-Will Wade, you know, you could really lean to LSU, but I mean, you'd still I think it's a very, very slim four spot here.
Okay.
But I mean, you gotta kind of hold tight to Kentucky on that just because of their, I think they're losing it, but they're right up there if you're looking at the top four, just consistently strong programs in the zoom in recent history for sure.
Okay. So of the teams that you named, right? There is at least, and we're talking strictly over the last 5 years, there's one Final Four that Auburn made in 2019, and the other three, Kentucky, LSU, and Arkansas, have all at least made the tournament or won the conference at some point. Well, I don't know. Arkansas didn't win the conference.
They got to an Elite Eight, though, last year.
In 2017, I mean, South Carolina made a Final Four out of nowhere, and they haven't done anything before, and they didn't do anything since.
Yeah,
so, you know, true. I mean, like, A broken clock is right twice a day. I mean, a blind squirrel can find a nut. There are weird scenarios like that can happen. But I mean, for this specific conversation, I think it is definitely noteworthy to bring up the consistency, not just flashes in the pan. I mean, correct. This is, and that's the difference between football and basketball. I think football is, you can really run with those flashes a little bit more. I mean, with basketball, it's just, A lot of teams can flash and they can fizzle out just as quickly. So to be consistent there is that there's a pretty big testament to that, I'd say.
Okay, so Chris, he left Alabama out of his top four, right? Yeah, and I want to hear your top four next because I mean he left Alabama out of that. And again, the fourth spot again in this discussion, I think we could debate till the cows come home. You know, give us your top four and maybe counter a little bit what he's saying here with his top four.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say for one, real quick, because I feel like we glossed over this earlier, but Mizzou is a team that is a really, really tradition-rich basketball school and has been for a long time. They got like 11 NCAA tournament appearances in the last 20-something years. But what's interesting about them is they haven't really had that kind of success since they've gotten to the SEC. But it is a very, very good program in terms of like historical significance. So I don't want to leave that out. So you said this, like, it's the year of our Lord. What? Right now it's 2023?
2023, baby.
Alabama's boat racing everyone that's in front of them right now. They okay. have arguably the best player in the country. I mean, like, he is the best freshman, arguably the best player in the country. They do so many things well, not just shoot the three. They defend the rim really well. They are able to, like, they rebound the shit out of the ball. They play defense, which is something I think a lot of Bama fans were kind of missing, like, especially last year. If you're talking about the last 5 years, I would put Auburn first, just from a consistency standpoint, to be honest. And then I would go Arkansas, because Arkansas has made two straight Elite Eight appearances, which is very difficult to do in general, let alone back-to-back years. After that, like, Kentucky is just such a... Kentucky's like Texas, but for basketball. It's like we're just pretending that they're like Brandy said it, like, you know, off air. It's like, well, yeah, I'd still probably put Kentucky in there just because, you know, they have a good team. They got the most talent. They'll probably make a run at some point. It's like, there's nobody that gets like more built-in excuses, you know, than Kentucky and Coach Cal. I don't get it, because there are so many things that they don't do at an elite level, like, anymore. Like, you know, I feel like for the past like several years. And let's not forget, they got bounced by a fucking kid with a prepubescent mustache last year in the first round of the play or the tournament. I don't see how you keep Bama out of this list. Like, from the I mean, let's not forget, 2 years ago they won the whole tournament, or they won the whole league, regular season and the conference tournament.
Okay.
Made it to the Sweet 16. Obviously lost to a pretty good UCLA team. In terms of people they put in the league the last couple of years as well, I mean, you got lottery picks with Colin Sexton.
Okay.
Herb Jones has been just like a force down there in New Orleans. I don't see how Bama doesn't make the list. I will also say, I don't feel like Auburn fans are handling this well, that they might not be the best basketball school in the state anymore.
Just okay.
in the season. And that, listen, it's a long season. They still got to go play at Auburn, which is not easy for any team to do, especially Alabama.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you keep Alabama out of that top four.
I got to tell you, man, I took my mom to her first Auburn basketball game not too long ago. The woman who birthed me and raised me and taught me how to be a decent human being had one request, and was go to Auburn basketball game. And I kind of wish it was Auburn, Alabama on February 11th, because that's going to be a monster ticket right now. That is shaping up to be probably one of the most anticipated games we've seen in SEC basketball in quite some time, if both teams keep trending the way they are. So before I give mine, I'm going to let Brandy jump in here on this conversation. Chris, again, remind me of your top four before Brandy goes.
I would say Auburn first. Okay. Then I would say Arkansas, and I'd say probably Tennessee and Bama. Just Tennessee just falls off whenever it matters most.
Yeah, but they're always in the conversation.
Sure.
To fall off when it matters most.
Right. Yeah, so is Notre Dame in football. I mean,
true story. Now, are they the Notre Dame of football? On the next episode of Mike Mac and Memes and Marler. your name starts with an – you have a name that starts with an M, which is the only reason we invite you. Brandy, jump in here. And you got a different perspective here?
Yeah, so last 5 years, but I'm omitting the Mickey Mouse COVID year for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So I just want to start off with that. Also, whenever I'm talking Mickey about Mouse. Kind of my like top four, things that are important to me are consistent postseason success, regular season SEC success. I honestly really don't care that much about the SEC tournament. Like, it's great for momentum going into March, but at the end of the day, I don't think it matters that much.
It's meaningless.
Brandy's whipping up a spreadsheet. Mike's like, all right, pull out your thoughts in your pocket.
I want to let you finish, but I do think it's a really good point to say that the conference tournament doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Like, I think winning that immediately just a strong start right out of the gate to just diminish any of the points I made in favor of
Auburn. Auburn won it in 2019.
Auburn won. I was at the conference tournament that Auburn won in person when we did win it a few years ago. So,
yeah. The cool thing about that is at least you won the conference tournament and had like a good tournament run after that. Not every team can say that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Texas A&M proved that after they had a great end to their season, went deep into the conference tournament, and then didn't make the NCAA tournament. I thought they got robbed. Right. So I would agree. I would echo. Yeah. It seems like the selection committee has deemed that it doesn't matter.
Right. So that's one of the things going into kind of how I'm looking at things too. Another thing, when just considering the top programs in the last 5 years, like what do their fan bases look like in support of their programs too?
What is
so?
Okay. Explain this.
If you have a good team, but you're playing in front of, you know, a not full court, you know, arena. Like, I mean,
no pressure, very catered argument
you're making here, Brandy.
I mean, I'm just saying, how can you say that you've built a good basketball program in the last 5 years if your fans don't care about it? That's kind of what I'm getting at with that last point. It's not, it doesn't mean as much, obviously, as the other points. So, all that to say, I think number one for me would have to be Arkansas, simply because of the two Elite Eight back-to-back appearances and kind of just where Eric Musselman has that program headed. I think from a recruiting perspective, he's done really well. This season, they've kind of fallen off, but it's important to remember their literal best player has been out a majority of the season, Nick Smith Jr., and their second best player, Brazil, has also been out. If they were healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if they were right there with Alabama at the top of the SEC. They have the talent. So I think they were plagued by injury last year too. They were not healthy at the beginning of last season either. So I think if we've seen a healthy Arkansas the last 2 years, that they would be pretty scary. So I'm gonna go with them, because even though they weren't healthy during the full regular season last year, they still made it to an Elite Eight, just like they did the year before. And they knocked off, you know, our favorite Mickey Mouse program, Gonzaga, out of the tournament last year. So that was great too. So I'm going with them at the top. I think the recruiting there is just, it's hard to beat Eric Musselman out with recruits with any team in the SEC right now. Two, I'm going to go with Auburn. I mean, you kind of have to. They won the regular season SEC last year. They've been to a Final Four in the last 5 years and have the most SEC wins. So, and have a SEC conference tournament, even though I said that doesn't matter that much. So, you know, I think Auburn would be number two. Number three and four, I think, is actually probably pretty debatable between Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. I think any three of those teams could be in slots three or four. Kentucky's definitely headed more, you know, they're trending down not only this season, but last year in the tournament as well. Tennessee always has a really great regular season, but they fizzle out in the tournament for some reason. I don't know what it is, but I don't trust Rick Barnes' team whenever I'm building my bracket ever. So yeah, I think those would be my top. I really don't know three and four. I would probably put Tennessee at three, and then four, it would go back and forth between Kentucky and Alabama.
Yeah, you got to fucking pick one though.
Since I said 2020 was a Mickey Mouse year, I have to go with Kentucky.
Brandy's like on Deal or No Deal, but like won't hit the button. I'm not going to hit it yet, but I'm not going to accept the offer. We're just going to talk for a little bit. Hit the button. One point I do want to add to that, I was checking the schedule since 2017 to present day. For Kentucky and Arkansas, they have only had 1 year where they've had 20 or less than 20 wins. Mm-hmm. The inverse of that, Alabama since 2017 has only had one season where they've had over 20 wins.
I see.
So that fits my Kentucky at four narrative. There we go.
Do you guys feel like it's a little bit odd? Like, so like we started this conversation. The first thing I said was I would probably have Auburn number one from a consistency standpoint, right? And did you guys realize that, like, not you, Mike.
I haven't given mine yet.
The actual way you went about, like, coming up with, like your, like, thesis and, like, your criteria was directly like of how it affected Alabama first before anyone else.
I'm just saying, like, February 11th can't come soon enough. I'll leave it at that.
It'd be awesome. I think it'd be great. I, the regular season doesn't matter. Neither does the postseason. But I would say that, like, I feel like that's probably so nothing, not so nothing matters to make if we're just catering. Like we're talking about attendance.
Well, same criteria.
Programs like you can't say you have a successful basketball program if your fans aren't showing up for that team. I'm not saying fans aren't showing up for Alabama, but I think it's very clear. Like Arkansas was at number one for me because obviously their postseason success and everything on the court. But it's undeniable the direction that that program is headed, and that has a lot to do with their head coach and recruiting, but also a lot to do with the fan base that's pouring into the program too. I think right. Auburn can probably say something similar as well with kind of renaming our arena and what's happening at Auburn too. So I think there's something to be said for those programs who aren't, you know, who weren't necessarily included in kind of like our 20-year programs. I think that's important because what have we always known Kentucky for? Like a massive home crowd and environment and a fan base that shows up and shows out and pours money and pours time and effort into their program. So I think it does, like when you're looking at a program as a whole, I think it does matter when you take away kind of the on-court stuff.
Okay.
Moving forward, like looking at it like right now from like recruiting and the way those programs are headed right now, who do you think has like the brightest future in the next 2-3, including this year, including the year we are currently in? Who has the brightest future of those teams you just listed in your top four?
I think it depends on who Texas hires as their head coach.
Is that because you think they're going to hire Nate Oates?
I think they're going to hire either Nate Oates or if they can afford, which they've kind of come out and said that they'll pay whatever they want to pay for whoever they want. They could possibly hire Eric Musselman away too. I really think that they will go after one of either Nate Oates or Eric Musselman pretty hard.
Rumors about Cal, too.
Well, yes. There's rumors about Cal. Also, I think Michigan might have a head coaching position open up in the near future, and there may be a couple other big basketball programs that have head coaches at the end of this season that open up. So I think it depends on that because I don't think we're going to see all the same head coaches literally next season. I think one person at minimum will be out. So I think it just depends on that.
That's an interesting perspective. I'm going to interject on you goon buckets and give my top four here before we get too far off the topic. All interesting points. I think that the idea of the symptoms of a good program that Brandy are talking about, fan support and money being poured into the program, you know, maybe indications of where a program is trending, because obviously you don't show up and you don't pour millions of dollars into a program you're not sure is going the right direction. You know, and what have we seen over the last, you know, couple of years? Auburn gave Bruce Pearl a lifetime contract, so they obviously feel good about where he's going. I think that Nate Oates is entering that conversation about like, hey, pay me or I'm going to the Lone Star State where everything is bigger, right? It's hard to argue with him having Alabama in the conversation. Now, I will say this. I do think that Alabama basketball, I think people there clearly care more, and for good reason, care more about football than they do about basketball. But Nick Saban has built such a luster around the name Alabama. I think some of that expectation spilled over to basketball just a little bit. Like they get the benefit of the doubt because you say Alabama and you instantly think success, right? And this is not just, football, but Alabama has had a pretty good gymnastics team over the years, and just Alabama sports in general has an aura about it.
Number one in the country in soccer this year.
That has started with football, but like there is a football. Strong sports culture there on that campus, as much as it pains me to say. In my top four, I do think you start. I'm stuck between Kentucky and Auburn. And hear me out. I'm not talking about just what they've accomplished. I'm talking about when we enter a season, which team do you expect to be in the conversation for probably pick to finish first? And it's hard to ignore Kentucky because that expectation has stuck with them. And I think that Auburn has been consistently underrated in that no matter what they've accomplished. Right. A lot of people questioned whether the Final Four run was a flash in the pan or whether it was real. I think that they've proven that it's not a flash in the pan. But are they getting the respect? I'm still not sure they're getting the respect, guys. You know, if they're top 25, but ranked near the bottom of the top 25, you know, I'm not sure they're getting the benefit of the doubt that they should be getting. So I'm actually going to go with Kentucky. No, I can't do that. You can't ignore the Final Four, Auburn, right? And then I'm going to go with Kentucky. Arkansas definitely it makes the list. Back-to-back Elite Eights, certainly. I'm a little questionable about what's happening this year. Now, Brandy made the point about their top two players being out, and I think that's a valid point. You know, I don't think there's any sport other than tennis that a single player means more to the success of that thing than basketball. One good player can completely change the outlook of your team, right? And when you look at transcendent players like LeBron over the last 20 years being on your squad, man, your team is in contention for a championship, right? He could turn the worst team into the league into a championship team. So, like, if your best player is out in basketball, I think it matters. It's not really like next man up like in football, if that makes sense. And that has hurt them, but they put together an impressive resume over the last 5 years. And then in my last spot, I just don't think you can ignore. Well, I think Alabama has been sneaky good at basketball over the last 5 years. And, you know, they've kind of built up that even though there were maybe some guys who got some hype that they didn't deserve, I think Nate Oates has built a solid program. I think, Chris, who was the last coach before Nate Oates? Was it Avery Johnson?
Avery Johnson.
Yeah, or was there another knucklehead in between?
It was Avery.
It was Avery Johnson. Before that, it was Anthony Grant.
Okay, so recovering from the Avery Johnson years, I think is fairly impressive. And Alabama has gotten a pretty decent seed in the last couple tournaments that they've made. And it has culminated, I think, which year was it they were awful at shooting the three? Was it last year?
Anytime that we had, you said, like, they've recovered from the Anthony or the Avery Johnson era. Recovering from the Anthony Grant era was like watching Bama in football before Saban got there. Because it was, like, same, like, you were in it always until, like, the last 5 minutes. And you played really good defense, and there's not a single other part of that team or that game that was, like, appealing at all. It was
right.
Awful.
Right. You know, so I think that those are your top four teams in the SEC right now. Now, a strong case can be made for Tennessee. I think they have a solid program right now. And, you know, the SEC is a better conference in basketball top to bottom than they have been traditionally, even though we've seen championships come out of the conference over the last 20 years with Kentucky and Florida. You know, in 2019, Auburn probably had one of the most impressive runs we've seen in a tournament on their way to a Final Four and beating North Carolina, Kansas. And
Kentucky.
And Kentucky. Happen? In back-to-back-to-back games. Crazy. And then when you follow that up and you start looking at these four teams that we're talking about, even though we all kind of are iffy about our fourth team, when you start looking at draft picks that these teams have put in, right? There's some impressive names between the schools that we listed on that list. So not only are these schools trending up, but the top recruits in the nation are consistently picking these schools to start their college careers. And I don't think that can be ignored either. So I think there's a little bit of a changing of the guard happening. Now, if we're projecting forward, maybe Kentucky is trending down a little bit. I'll be interested to see if they can turn that around. They've been living a lot on the allure of what is Kentucky basketball. Yeah. But everybody else catching up. And then Kentucky fans, man, they're eating their own. They're turning on Calipari, Chris. They're turning on Calipari right now.
Their best draft pick last year, Shaden Sharp, didn't even play.
right. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a far cry from the team with John Wall that literally their whole starting five went to the NBA.
Right.
That 80s team, too.
It was Karl-Anthony Towns. Was he on that team?
Yeah, I think he was.
John Wall, I mean, it was a ridiculous team. And they didn't even win a championship. I don't think they won a championship. They didn't even win at all.
They lost to Memphis. No, that's not it. Wait. That was... No, Memphis lost to Kansas. That's what it was.
Yeah, I don't think Tennessee or Kentucky won it all that year. And so, you know, it seemed like they were this infallible powerhouse at basketball that it just doesn't matter. You know, I saw something today about somebody had tweeted out that Alabama has no coordinators, and I think it was Josh Pate. Yeah, the no coordinators in the number one recruiting class in the country. Now, that's a little misleading tweet because they didn't have no coordinators when they landed the number one class of the country, you know, because of early signing day. I think Bill O'Brien just took a job somewhere.
Patriots.
Yeah, and a lot of Alabama fans are happy about that. I felt the same way about Kentucky. It's like almost no matter what, it's not about any one coach. It's about the coach. You know, and what he's built there and the aura around the program. So guys are always going to go there. Is that slipping a little bit? You know, time will tell us. But, man, let me tell you something. The traditional luster has kind of fallen off that program, you know, at least for this year. So will they continue to trend down is something that we're going to take a look at on, you know, on future shows and future podcasts. Great discussion, guys. I want to end this segment by talking about we've named our top four that are trending up now, right? Arkansas this year is a downtrend based on all the things that we talked about, injuries to their top players, and, you know, their win-loss record kind of bears that out. A lot of people still feel like they're in the running to make the tournament. I'm not so sure. But how do we see the rest of this season playing out in the SEC? I had tweeted out, guys, that I felt like it was going to be a tight run down the back half of the schedule in the SEC to see. Honestly, I'm not so sure about that anymore. Alabama could run away with it. As far as I'm concerned, you know, Auburn has a tough road to hoe down this back half of this schedule. For them, we're going to see what kind of team they really are. You know, how do we see the rest of the regular season SEC playing out? And who comes out on top? Going to start with your memes. I want to start with memes here because he's up to something. He's up to no good.
Yeah, well, with the way the standings are cooking right now, I mean, I don't see how there's any way you couldn't argue that this is a race between Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, and then maybe A&M as a dark horse. And just to let everybody know, we're recording this before the Auburn A&M game, so maybe that statement will be completely nullified come time.
For somebody.
This is there. I mean, it's hard, and I know Chris is sad because I've been saying some mean things about Alabama. And
oh, I'm UCL shit by now.
They are definitely like... It's hard to say that they are the team.
It's hard for you to get a fucking sentence right now, memes. Look at you. No, you can't even say it.
He's trying to do research and talk at the same time.
I was making sure I got my accurate standings up here. But there's always that slim chance Kentucky could make a comeback run. I don't really think so, just judging how Alabama boat raced them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alabama still has three losses over Kentucky plus a head-to-head matchup. So I just don't see a world, barring an injury, which obviously we're never going to be hoping or cheering for an injury, that Alabama has three losses and that head-to-head with Kentucky ends up mattering. Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be between those three, with just A&M being a dark horse just because they have a one-loss record. From what I saw how they played against Kentucky, I think A&M's going to fall off. Tennessee has got really, really good defense. It's probably the best defense in the country. Alabama is some of the best offense and shooting in the entire country as well. So it's unmovable object versus unstoppable force. And Auburn is just, I think we still don't really know exactly what Auburn's identity is at this point, but they're finding ways to get better. So as we kind of sit here and look at it, I mean, if Auburn continues, I guess what we could say is Auburn is trending upward, and we don't really know what they may look like if they continue at this rate when the dust settles.
Yeah, I will say the front half of this schedule for Auburn was extremely easy and right. probably a blessing for them. The back half of the schedule is not.
And it's tough because we don't know what that Auburn team could look like, because really they are the least tested of all these teams thus
far.
That's
a fair statement. Yeah.
So that's why I kind of put Auburn in there in that limbo. Is like, all right, once they seem to have gotten this groove a little bit more figured out and they're ironing out the kinks, look to be better and better, and they're beating teams they should beat home and away by double digits and just passing the eye test and all the above, what's it going to look like when they actually play a hard, hard game? And we don't exactly know what that's going to look like yet. Because, I mean, really, out of all these teams, the only teams that have played each other thus far are Alabama and Kentucky. Tennessee hadn't gone up there and faced against Alabama yet. Auburn hasn't played either two of them before. So it's going to be between them. Obviously, SEC tournament, you have no clue what happens. But, I mean, just by looking at the record, I mean, there's just such a – out of those top three, four SEC teams, it's just a massive fall-off. I don't see any way where any of those teams can just claw out of this, like I said, barring some type of crazy injury, which, like I said, we don't hope for that. We don't talk about that, so – That's kind of where we leave it, and we'll know probably after Auburn plays A&M, West Virginia, and then we'll see what it looks like here. This will be a much more clear conversation.
So you're picking Alabama
to win the SEC regular title?
Yeah, who comes out on top?
No, I'm gonna pick Tennessee solely just because I'm bugging.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Out of pure hate and absolutely no logic, yep. Memes picks Tennessee.
Defense wins championships. Didn't Bear Bryant say that?
You know what their defense is ranked right now in KenPom? You want to take a guess what it is?
You talking about Tennessee or Alabama?
Tennessee.
You cited KenPom, so this is already invalid.
Yeah, let's hear it.
it's first in the country. You're right, and Bama's like way far behind at five in the country. So.
So
I don't know how they've done that. Also have the third toughest strength of schedule they've played so far. So all that stuff you're saying about Auburn not being tested and all I stopped listening at one point just of all the caveats that had to be in play for Auburn for us to finally figure out what Auburn is, because we know what Bama is. Bama's a fraud. They're not that good. Nate Oates is a trash human being.
I do have one compliment on Bama, Chris. Do you know the highest amount of points scored on him this season?
It was definitely Gonzaga, right? It was like
No. What the number was, though?
It was over 69. I know that.
It was 69.
No, that's not true, because Gonzaga put up like
that's a good number.
A lot more than that.
Oh, sorry. I meant okay. I didn't count the losses. Yeah, I meant like in their wins.
Yeah,
not Gonzaga. Yeah, in the I guess the thing did UConn put up more than that too when they beat them?
Probably, I would assume so.
In the win column, the most that Alabama has given up has been 69 points, which is
I will say I watched that UConn game with you, and I don't remember. I mean, you celebrated it way more than I think any UConn fan or player did. So, because there's nothing like November basketball to really get you going. I don't think it's like a lock that Bama's going to just walk away or run away with the SEC regular season title, because it's like one thing about the SEC that's it's so difficult is that the way they set up those schedules, it's not even and fair and like just like one, you don't play like not everyone plays the same teams. Mm-hmm. You also like, you know, some of these, y'all remember like last year, I feel like y'all's February was a nightmare. Like, I mean, it was ridiculously tough.
Yeah, Arkansas and Tennessee both away. That sucked.
Right. I mean, Bama played them away too, and they actually won against Tennessee. So, I understand it's tough for some teams, but I think that there's like a lot of time left. I don't think you could ever count out any Bruce Pearl coach team, like from, I think, finishing in anywhere but the top, right? Like, earned that respect. I think that, like, the team is obviously very talented as well. I just am not going to, I don't have the energy or the flexibility to jump through all the hoops that you did. I just think that Bama is clearly better than everyone else in like, not just in the SEC, but in the country right now. And I like the way they're playing right now, they are destroying teams. Mm-hmm. And you saw it against LSU. They came out and hit 14 threes in the first half.
For sure.
And this, they don't seem to do, like, the one thing that is very different about this Bama team that I think that we've seen in the past is you just don't see like the let up in like the second half. And you don't see like the...
It was the opposite of that. They get better in the second half.
Right. Yeah.
It's like they play with their food. They play with their food in the first half. And then it's just... I mean, that Arkansas game, Old Alabama is like they were tied with Arkansas, maybe up by a point in the second half. It was just they curb stomped them, beat them up 15 or 16.
50, no. Yeah, that was also on the road, just a heads up.
Yeah, note the time.
They put up 51 points in the second half alone in that game.
Note the time. It's 10:22 Eastern, January 24th, 2023. And Meep said something nice about Alabama that was also accurate.
Oh, yeah. gotta let everyone know that.
For sure. Well, let's jump to you, man. Top four, man. Like, you named your top four. Who comes out on top this season?
I mean, I think it's Bama and Tennessee and Auburn. I think it does go down to like the actual end of the season. Mm-hmm. But again, it's hard for me to think that those three teams are good. Like, I just am not going to sit
who's
here.
Who's going to finish first? Who's going to win the regular season SEC? Yeah. You have to choose.
It's okay to boog on this one. Who's your champion, though?
Oh, Alabama.
Alabama? Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that is a sound, logical pick. And now you mentioned that, you know, they're killing people from the three. They get better in the second half. They play defense at a high level, which I think is the most compelling argument for why they'll finish on top. Just in case, you know what I mean? I just feel like that's probably the most compelling thing about this team to me. Are you predicting, let me ask you this question, particularly because you're picking Alabama. Does Alabama sweep the regular season series with Auburn or do they split 1-1?
Those games at Auburn are a fucking nightmare. It's never close. That's the only basketball game I've been to in years. It was at Auburn and it was I think it was after the 2017 Iron Bowl because they gave away that stupid trophy at halftime.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think they sweep it. I think it's a very, very, I would not be surprised if it's split. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn wins either. That's a very, very competitive, what do you call it? Rivalry in general. And I think also this is like where Auburn thrives, is like kind of laying in the weeds and just like sneaking up on you.
Right. Oh yeah. I'll tell you, cover that game and sit next to me in the press box, please.
I would love to do that.
Just come to that one and just
tell what's your name. That would be good. We should do this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just cover that game. I'm going to be there covering live. So I feel like you should be there covering live. And then the next pod, we're going to talk to each other about what we saw. All right. So, you know, Marler has Bama coming out on top here.
Yeah, you and Brandy still got to go. Y'all put the heat on me. Don't be.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Brandy here. Who's your SEC? Who comes out on the top of this newfound SEC that we just defined?
I think it's very clear Alabama's the best team in the conference right now. It's undeniable they have the best player in the conference. That's a freshman.
But the best team doesn't always win.
Well, the best part about this sport is regression comes and it comes at you quick. So all those threes that Chris is talking about being drained by Alabama, one off night of a down night shooting percentage, and it's going to come at them quick. It happens. It happens to every team. It's happened to the greatest of teams in all of college basketball history. It's going to happen. So regression will happen. It just depends what games it happens in. If it happens against Auburn, if it happens against Tennessee, that leaves a door open for either of those teams to come in. I'm going with Tennessee. One of the things that the numbers don't tell you for KenPom on defense is, yes, they are obviously an amazing defensive squad. Vescovi has not been healthy the entire season. He has not played every single game, and that's their best defensive player on the floor. Mm-hmm. So their defense is good, but it's also good sometimes without their best defensive guy on the floor. So I think Tennessee hasn't reached anywhere near the ceiling that they have this season, and we're going to see them get pretty good down the stretch in regular conference play. So I'm going with Tennessee first. I think Alabama finishes second. I think it's going to be a tiebreaker that chooses who's the winner of that, though. And then I think Auburn or Kentucky will finish third, potentially. I don't know. I think the third spot's really weird. I don't know what this Auburn team's made of still. It's kind of hard to find out what our identity is when we've played such a weak conference schedule so far. So,
yeah,
you guys are in control of that, just so you know.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. If you're in the top four, you're in control of your own destiny right now. Mm-hmm. So You know, I think to kind of close this conversation, anybody, wait, Brandy, did you have more or was that?
No, that was it. I think regression's just going to catch up to Alabama. So.
Yeah. Who'd you say wins the tournament?
Or not the tournament, the regular season? The regular season. I think it's Tennessee. I think Tennessee hasn't reached their ceiling yet. And we'll see that down the stretch. And hopefully Auburn's not on the bad side of that.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, Auburn plays that murderer's row that ended. I mean, Auburn is one loss right now, but a few bad stretches there. You never know. And then obviously, too, what's it going to look like with Chris Moore's shoulder recovery? And there's just a lot of factors.
Yeah. I think all valid points by you guys. Listen, any team with more than three losses, we're already counting out of this discussion about, you know, I don't think there are any dark horses here that are going to sneak up. And maybe Kentucky, if they go on some crazy streak, right, could sneak up and get into like a tiebreak scenario where they win it. But I don't really see that happening right now, particularly with the way that Alabama's playing. I don't think they let Kentucky sneak from three losses up on them with no losses right now in the SEC. So, Alabama would have to, they would just have to really fall apart here at the end. Now, I thought that Brandy brought up a good point. I have teams that live by the three really make me nervous about how they'll finish, because let me tell you something, you can go cold quick. And I know this is in college basketball, but when the Cavaliers came back from 3-1 down to beat the Golden State Warriors, we saw one of the greatest two-year shooting streaks in NBA history fall apart in the NBA Finals. And it was epic. And it allowed LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and those guys to come back and make history in a pretty epic way to win an NBA title. Even with 2019 Auburn, they were passing up wide open layups to shoot threes. That's how good they were at the three. And in my mind, I kept thinking, this is going to end at some point, right? They're going to go gold at the worst time. Now, it never really happened. They were competitive to the end. And as we all know, Virginia double dribbled, right? Yeah. And that's the only reason we're not sitting here talking about, it wasn't called, and that's the only reason we're not sitting here talking about an Auburn championship team that year. But Alabama, what makes me, I think Alabama's saving grace, as Chris mentioned, is the defense. They're really good at defense as well, too. So if they go cold and you can limit your opponent, you always have a shot, right? Don't let your opponent score a bunch of points and you always have a shot. So they would have to be really bad on offense, the way they're playing defense right now, to lose when it matters. That's how I feel. Now, obviously, that can change in an instant, right? I like Alabama to win the conference this year, the regular season conference title this year. I think they'll lose a game in conference. Which game it is, I think they may lose a couple games. But they've got one game on everybody else, and I think that everybody else is going to lose a couple games too. So, Auburn, I hate to beat this dead horse, guys, but, this whole, we don't know what Auburn is thing is valid, man. Good luck with this team. I think they're trending the right direction right now. As we're recording this earlier today, I attended the pre-Texas A&M press conference, and I asked, Janai Broome was there with Johan. And I just asked, like, hey, it seems like him and Wendell Green are starting to get on the same page. And he talked about, we spend a lot of time not only on the court, but off the court, just trying to develop that chemistry. I'm paraphrasing him, but, in so many words, that's what he was getting at. And we're seeing that manifest on the court right now in the way that they're Wendell's throwing up lobs and he's catching them. I think Wendell Green is I think he's rounding into form. I think what we've seen the last three games from Wendell Green is a version of himself that Auburn needs to make a deep run in the tournament. We need to see a guy who's dishing the ball at a high level, being aggressive, going to the basket. And I don't think Auburn can go very far if Wendell Green isn't scoring. I just don't. I don't think there's enough offense on this team for him to not score and them win or beat anybody that's worth a damn.
Yeah, we'll put a little bit of a caveat on that one, too. I think him scoring and also what he's doing with the assists is a part of that as well. Because, I mean, he can have a bad night just scoring, but he's making up from that from his free throws and even like he did last game with his assists. Mm-hmm. But if he's not getting in the line on the freeze and he's not able to feed it to what's typically been Broom, it just, yeah, you're absolutely right on your synopsis.
Yeah. I mean, they need him. If he plays like this, when he plays like this, everybody around him is better. He makes that team better. And I think, again, if Auburn gets that version of Wendell Green, February 11th is going to be epic, guys. That's going to be one of the most epic games we've ever watched.
No, it's going to be the game. If Auburn keeps it up, it's going to be the game of the year.
It's going to be the game of the year.
I mean, if we lose, I will deactivate from Twitter. I'm putting that out there now.
So. What you should do is just not talk so much shit.
I'm not even talking shit either. I've been very good about not saying we are going to win. I just say I want to win and that we need to, but I haven't made any statements that say we are going to because I know how good this Alabama team is and I'm not willing to get old takes exposed. So
they'll come after you even if you didn't say anything.
Yeah, you
can have a joke that I said 3 years ago.
I remember this.
I woke up, I was like, what the hell are these people talking about? And it was like,
your mentions were blowing up, bro. Ridiculous. Like, you woke up Brady, like 500 mentions.
It was insane. Brady, I also say, just to make you feel better, because I'm a good person, like, you don't know how Bama's going to play in that game, because you don't even, I mean, how many fans are even going to show up at Coleman Coliseum, like, for the game at Auburn? You know what I mean? Because that factors into
who's, you're not who's wrong. The real team. Nate Oates literally had to go on social media today and beg for a sellout for a number two team in the country earlier today. Crazy. So you're not right. I mean, you're not wrong. Well,
one issue with the Alabama program that I do find interesting and the kind of zooming out the scope of the arms race of basketball is what seems to be, as of right now, the issue with getting that new arena built.
I was going to go there.
There was all this hype around it because obviously Bruce Pearl had a similar battle going on with trying to get the men's only practice facility built. And now he's saying, hey, we got to table that. We got an NIL right. But that was one of the things that Bruce was having some debates and deliberations with the power brokers at Auburn was that. And obviously it seems that Alabama's kind of hit their own roadblock. And kind of what you said, you know, playing 4D chess, you're zooming out Nate Oates' future to Alabama. I wonder how much of that could be playing into, hey, we were thinking we're getting these facilities, we got this and that, we have a really good season. I got other teams calling me. I want a new arena. You know, like I wonder how much of that is a factor.
That's like the number one thing on that. Like on that, I think that the reasons why he would leave. Like I don't know what Greg Byrne could even be thinking about by not building the thing already.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not like they don't have the money. That's the crazy part. It's like they've got
Biden's America. I mean, it's just
I guess they're spending too much money on eggs at the dining hall.
Yeah, behavior.
I mean, have a question if, you know, he cares about the basketball program that much and the people with money, do they there? You have to wonder.
Yeah,
in charge of building the $100 million facility for sure.
It's completely ridiculous that we're even having this conversation about, you know, building facilities in a program that's got an athletic department that's got so much money flowing through it. And, you know, at some point, again, I just feel like the state of Alabama athletics in general is in such a healthy place that you should have top tier facilities for your three major sports, right? Like, you should 100%. Gymnastics, sucks. Basketball, and football, we should not be having any conversation at Alabama or Auburn right now. I mean, you know, if you want to compete, you need state of the art facilities. You do. Right. And so Bruce Pearl having, you know, I mean, I'm not buying that the money's not there with, you know, to build Bruce Pearl his practice facility and give me a break. You know, they hired him. He built a slow monster. Right. It wasn't instant success at Auburn when Bruce Pearl took over. There were a couple of years where we were like, was this guy worth the risk that we took, the PR hit that we took hiring him? And then he just kept making them a little better every year until 2019 happened. He took a bunch of three-star and two-star recruits and got to the Final Four with them.
Man, right? I remember Bryce Brown's freshman year. His three-point shooting percentage was horrible.
Horrible. Awful.
I remember watching it with my own eyes, thinking, how is this guy on a D1 basketball team? Right. And then, like, looking out to 2019, just kind of speaking to the testament that is Bruce Pearl.
Where's Bryce Brown from again?
He's got to be from Atlanta. That's where everybody...
Stone Mountain, Georgia, y'all.
Stone Mountain.
All athletic legends are born.
Every Bruce Pearl player's from Georgia. But I would say, it's funny, Brandy brought up the three-point things. I tweeted this today. And with a little bit of a pain point of the fact that Devin Cambridge is shooting almost like 38% from three this season at Arizona State, and he was 22% last year with a lot of volume of threes. And it's just like, I was sitting there scratching my head. I'm like, what if he had shot that last season? What if he'd even split that down the middle and just shot like 30% from three?
Just
how
crazy
different this could have looked. Like, it's just wild how guys like from one season to the next can just like, the switch hits, then all of a sudden they're just these lights, this can shoot lights out. I don't know.
Well, that seems to be something that happens under Bruce Pearl coach players. At some point, the light turns on and some guy figures it out. Now, here's the downside for Auburn. Now, you know, part of being a powerhouse program is that you got to replace your best player like every year. Your best player is not staying for more than 1 year in college basketball if he is what, you know, people speculate him to be. And I think that in the discussion about our top four kind of coming full circle here, the better programs have been able to do that because, you know, it used to be that you could go straight to the NBA from high school. So we had a lot of players just skipping this step altogether. You know, the Kevin Garnett's, the LeBron James is, you know, I mean, at least we got 1 year out of Carmelo Anthony, right? Like, you know, there are a lot of good players that just never saw college basketball. Now you get 1 year, and, you know, I asked Bruce Pearl in one of these interviews that we had about it, like, well, how tough is it having to replace your best player every single year? And if you're going to be a top four program, I think in any conference, you're going to have to deal with that because guys aren't staying. Can you imagine if Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith came back for another year?
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
junior Sharif Cooper.
Yeah, it's like a video game scenario that, you know, when you're on NBA 2K that you just forced to pan out. Like, I'm not going to let these guys go to the NBA after 1 year, even after I juiced all their stats and made super players. So
let me tell you, let's run into that. We could have a COVID year, Isaac Okoro, a junior Sharif Cooper, and then Jabari. Sorry, too soon. Didn't mean to go there. But if you think about it, it is painful.
It is painful to think. But if you're going to have a top program, it's something you have to deal with every year, right? Is Alabama going to be that team moving forward that, again, puts some guy in the top 10 of the NBA draft and then is still somehow good the next year? I mean, Kentucky was doing it. They've been doing it for a while, which is why that's why we put them in there, right? In our traditional top 20 is because they've been doing that for a long time. And not every program can stomach that. On the football side, you know, there are programs that we know are just going to, they go through players like that. Guys have dynamic years and they're like, out, I'm going to get paid before I get hurt. So in basketball, the attrition is, I think it's a lot tougher because again, when you talk about losing your best player, and we've acknowledged in no sport does one guy mean more than in basketball, because you only
put five guys in the receiver position, especially in the postseason in the college football playoff, is pretty
as a Bama fan, I'm shocked that you have that take. It's going to be interesting to see here moving forward what these teams can continue to do. A Will Wade-less LSU, I think, removes them from the conversation, it seems. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what direction that program is headed. Outlook looks pretty bleak, which sucks for the SEC as a whole. But they're not good. We'll see if Arkansas can rebound from what at this point seems to be, you know, trending toward a pretty disappointing season for them, given that they made the Elite Eight last year. And then you have the Auburns and the Alabamas and the Tennessees that, you know, all signs point to either stability or an upward trend in terms of what they're doing and continuing to get the top talent and win at a high level. Guys, you're listening to the Auburn Express podcast, where we have the top talent and we're trending up every Thursday. I want to thank our guest, Chris Marler. We're just going to call him Marler because this is a Mike Mack and Memes podcast, and you got to have an M name to be a part of the party. You can find him at the College Football Uncensored podcast. Also, follow him at Twitter at Vern Funquist. That's a V-E-R-N-E, fun, and a quist, Q-U-I-S-T. Follow him on Twitter. He's always saying ridiculous things there. You can blast him for. We love Chris. My girl, Brandy Mack, my guy, Auburn Memes, joining me every Thursday to talk about everything college sports, usually college football. But today we're talking basketball. Next week we'll probably be talking football again. We'll invite Chris back to talk about that as well. So, guys, I want to thank you guys for joining me. We're signing off. And as always, in your face, Chris, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thanks, guys.